Okay, this today is November 12th, 1990, and I'm at the home of Olive Goodwin in Valley Bend, West Virginia. And we're going to talk a little bit about Olive's weaving activities and other things about her life. Why don't we start, Olive, by telling me where you were born?
Rim County. Give me those two piece of paper.
Yeah, they make
I was born in... I can tell you that. In Roan County, 1907.
Roan County?
Roan County, that's down next to Charleston.
Yeah.
I mean, it's over in the western part of the state.
Yeah, Spencer area?
Uh-huh. Pretty close. It's a little town called Seaman.
Seaman.
Seaman, West Virginia. That was, and it was named for my grandfather.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was just a... you might say a train stop. He had a store, and they had a, when they put the railroad through, why, they had a little station in his store.
Uh-huh.
So, and then he had quite a layout. I mean, it's kind of, he had a boot shop where they made boots, and just most everything a farmer has, and then he ran this little store.
And what was his name?
Seaman. J.D. Seaman.
J.D. Seaman.
Uh-huh. And the town was called Seaman after him.
Uh-huh. So you were born there.
Uh-huh.
How long did you live there?
Well, not very long, because my father was, at that time, was traveling. Mm-hmm. He used a horse and wagon and took groceries and things like that. Well, not so many groceries in those days, but, flour and that sort of thing. It's a little bit like trucking, except they used horses and wagons. And they didn't really have a permanent place, you know, to settle, and so she stayed home. And he traveled.
Was that his own business, or was he working for somebody?
Yes, he was working for someone.
Uh-huh.
No, it wasn't his business.
Mm-hmm.
But then later, I think he went into the working in camps. You know, it's like it is today. There's an awful lot of wood working. And so he worked in these log camps, and then they went to a little place called Paddy Creek,
Paddy
down next to Charleston.
Never heard of that.
And then we moved to Mill Creek. I think the reason we probably went to Mill Creek was when I was about 4 years old, why my mother had typhoid fever and diphtheria at the same time, and she was bedridden. And she had my little brother besides me, you know, when I was only four. And Dad's sister came down to visit to see how they were getting along. They were worried about them. And she just gathered me up and brought me home with her. And so I stayed at Huttonsville until Mother recuperated, and then they came to get me.
Mm-hmm.
And they just stayed there. My grandfather was a preacher, by the way, in Huttonsville, Southern Methodist preacher.
How's that?
And he was at Huttonsville at that time.
And what was his name?
Just a mile above Mill Creek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And his name?
His name was Charles A. Goodwin.
Charles A. Goodwin. Mm-hmm. And that was your father's father.
Mm-hmm. My father's father, my grandfather.
Yeah.
And he was a Methodist, Southern Methodist minister.
And
so then he got a job there. They wanted him to stay here, you know. And he got a job with the Wilson Lumber Company, which was a pretty good sized lumber business at that time. In fact, it's employed most all the people in Mill Creek. So we just settled down there and That's where I grew
back
up.
At that time, they did they have train service through to Mill Creek?
Yes,
at that time?
Uh-huh. Yeah. No road. No one had cars. Uh-huh. It was just the train.
Uh-huh.
And if you needed to go to town, you got left at about 8 o'clock in the morning and got back about 5. I know when I was going to college, why we had to travel that way.
Yeah.
And even in 1926, we were just getting roads built about that time.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd leave Mill Creek in the morning at 8 o'clock, and then we'd had classes all morning, and then most of the afternoon we were supposed to be studying, but you know how it is in a study hall and a bunch of girls. And so we'd go, and then at 5 o'clock we'd go down and get on the train, come on.
So you boarded at home and went, you were going to D&E
uh-huh,
College.
Came back
and forth.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I did that for a good while, and then I think I spent a couple of years. Maybe one semester, and then a couple of summers, and then after that, all my schooling was in the summers and extension work.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 20 years to get a degree. Everybody thinks that's awful, you know, the kids especially today, they think, 20 years? But you had to earn money to go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My parents never were very, very rich. I mean, they had we just lived, you might say, because we went through the Depression. We didn't have a good start.
Yeah.
But so after we moved down here, though, Dad had a regular job. Then after the mill, of course, closed down, we were pretty hard up.
Where were your mother's people from?
Huh?
Your mother's people, where were
my
they
My mother's
from?
People were from Roane County.
From Roane County.
Now, my father's father, we don't have, and I've got a real good history on my mother's family, but my father's family, we just don't know too much about them.
Uh-huh.
Now, I had aunts and uncles, but I wasn't old enough to be interested in families at that time when they were living, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I would have liked to have gotten more history on him.
And what was
But my grandfather was the one we were talking about that lives in Seaman.
Mm-hmm.
J.D. Seaman was my
that was your
mother's father.
Yeah. I see.
And they had, I think it was 13 children. He was married twice.
Mm-hmm.
Mother was one of the younger children. She was next to the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a big family.
So you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but I'll ask you what year you were born.
Huh?
What year were you born?
1907. Yeah, I'm 83. I'm not ashamed of it.
No, that's good. That's good. Now, as far as any weaving in your family before you, did your...
Yes. My mother's earlier sisters wove,
mm-hmm.
and there was and she's told me about her, the old farmhouse. I've got a picture of it. I'll show it to you. And they had a loom, and I think it was in the kitchen.
Hmm.
Evidently, the outside of the house doesn't. Of course, I was there when I was younger, but I can't remember. But the kitchen evidently was pretty good size because they had a huge table in there because a lot of people that would come in on the train and need someplace to stay. In those days, you know, country people took you in. I mean, it didn't matter who you were because we could dress people in more than we can. But for instance, traveling men would come and they would stay all night. Well, of course, they didn't eat. They never knew who was going to be there for a meal, you know. And so they had this huge table that she told me about. And one of my cousins said in the table was a drawer. And that's where grandmother kept all of her goodies, like honey and... And then she'd feed the grandchildren bread and jelly and that sort of thing. And then they had this big room in this room. And my older older aunts had all, Because at that time, now what he had in the store, I don't know, but there was no yardage goods or, say, rugs or anything like that that came later. And they made their own coverlets, their own blankets. And another thing they made, and she's told me about it, was rag rugs. They made it in strips and sewed it together and put it down as a wall-to-wall carpet. Mm-hmm. And underneath of it, they put straw. Huh. Then in spring, they'd take up that carpet and put fresh straw down and wash the carpet, sew it back together, and put it down. Now, don't you believe that'd be a job?
Yeah.
But they it was necessary for them to weave, let's put it that way.
But I have
one piece, of course, that was my great grandmother. Coverlid that she made, but I don't have any of that. That my other aunts made. I don't have any of those.
Your great grandmother on which?
She was my great grandmother.
Your mother's grandmother.
I'll have to look that up. I have that. But offhand, I can't. I think her last name was. I don't know. I'll look it up. But I didn't know you won.
Oh, well.
This much history.
So, you found yourself over here in Tigard's Valley when you were, did you say 4 years old?
Huttonsville, 4 years old.
Huttonsville, yeah.
And I went to school in Mill Creek and grew up in Mill Creek. See, that, I think I was with them maybe 2 years because mother was pretty sick. They didn't think she was going to pull through. But I think I was with them 2 years at Huttonsville. And then when Dad and Mother came, there, of course, the object was to take me back home. But they talked him into staying here. And so he got a job with Wilson Lumber Company, and he fed sawdust to boilers. You know, filled the bars.
Pristine.
And that's where they got their power. Sawdust, and you know. And I understand Harwood's going to use that same method.
Is that it?
They don't usually anymore. They do it by, you know, machine. But he had a lot of time on his hands, so he got into the furniture making. He made our kitchen table, or dining room table. It was really a lovely table. And he made chairs, and every once in a while somebody will say, I have one of your dad's swings. He made a lot of swings. Just the other day, Kathy Hopkins called me, and she said, you can't imagine what's on my front porch. What's going to be my front porch? They just bought a farm. And I said, no, what? And she says, one of your dad's swings. So every once in a while, one of them will pop up. But the table, my nephew has it. It was too big for me, and after everybody left, and so I wanted a smaller table. And I thought I'd be able to move my little loom in the kitchen, but I don't know. It just seemed like it never... I never had time to use it. And then...
I guess at that time they were cutting the big timber around here.
Doing what?
They were still cutting the big old growth timber in this country. I mean, when
you, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. See, that problem was they cut it all.
Yeah.
That's why nowadays they plan for the future.
Yeah.
But then they didn't. As they went, they cut everything. Well, you know, a lot of it was wasted because it could have grown and so forth. But they cut timber all up and down the valley, and they had a little, I think they called them 2-gauge or 1-gauge engine.
Narrow gauge?
A little narrow gauge, that's it. Uh-huh. Okay, narrow gauge.
Maybe a shade.
Railroad. In other words, Western Maryland came to Mill Creek. Well, they went to Huttonsville and turned around, but most of the the business at Mill Creek was taken off at Mill Creek and then put on this little near gauge train, and then they'd go make a trip up the valley with that in the morning, and they were had passengers. And then they'd come back, get in Mill Creek about noon, and then they'd unload and just the engine, the caboose, would go back. And then in the evening they'd come in with a load of logs. Mm-hmm. And then they had a Shea engine too,
mm-hmm.
and it would bring in a load mm-hmm. of logs. And that's... was the way, but most of the people that didn't have cars could travel. You know, it took you all day, but well, not in the morning. The little train, the near gauge, went just up in the morning and back.
Mm-hmm.
But the Western Maryland. Now, if I don't know, have you read any of the? Have you read the Centennial magazine that they put out?
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's interesting. Uh-huh. I have one, if you want to borrow it.
Uh-huh.
But at one time, evidently, there were 3 or 4 trains going up the valley,
mm-hmm.
from according to this book.
Hmm.
And that must have been in their boom days,
yeah.
because I can only remember the one.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they would have freights.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that's what they meant. They uh-huh. did have freight trains because they would haul,
taking lumber,
you know, yeah. freight. There was a store there, but and then the other was a passenger train. Okay, that uh-huh. makes sense, doesn't it? So, but the I'm not sure that there was, there was a regular time for the freight time, but a freight train, but I just don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah.
Do you remember any contact with the Swiss people up at Helvetia, and there was a lot of them around Adolf, wasn't there, originally?
Not the Swiss people.
Not the
Russians. They were from Helvetia.
Yeah. You didn't have much contact with them back in the...
No, not then. But, evidently, they could come out by train too, though. But not, I don't remember in the early days, but in my time, I mean, since I've been weaving, we went over there and had classes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the home demonstration agent, which started weaving in the first place, is, and I have a paper I'd like for you to read that just gives a good history of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd didn't do a very good job of it. I'm not very good at writing things. But this home demonstration agent that got us started, mm-hmm. we were started by the Home Demonstration Club.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they came to me. At that time, they were just starting adult education classes, like basket making and woodworking and knitting and sewing, and I forget what all classes they had. But most of the classes that they were having were people who could pack up in a basket their what they needed and go to, and all the classes were at the high school. And they'd go to the high school and have their classes. So they came to me and asked me if I would start a weaving class, the Homestead Federation. Now, the other was under the Board of Education, mm-hmm. this program, just like it is now. It's under Board of Education.
About what year are we talking about?
Well, that was in 63, I think. Mm-hmm. 1963. So they asked me if I'd have a weaving class. And at that time, I was already teaching weaving classes for mm-hmm. the Board of Education. And I told them, well, one thing, I hadn't started teaching classes yet. We were still at the Homestead. See, we had a weaving shop at the Homestead. Mm-hmm. And we had let people come in and weave after I learned to weave. And so they asked if I'd teach a class, and I said, well, I can't take a loom and a warping bar and all this stuff to a class every Monday night. That's when we were having the classes. I said, it's just impossible. I'd have to hire a truck and then some men to unload. And so I said, if you could get me a permanent place, some kind of a building, and 10 looms, you had to have 10 looms, 10 students, and each student has to have a loom. Mm-hmm. That's the only way you can teach weaving. You've got to have a loom per student. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, that's the end of that. I never dreamed they'd come up with all this. You know what they did. Hmm. And I think one of those looms came from Hell Fisher. Like when people have found them in their attics and in their cellars. And
now, what year was this? This
is in the 60s.
63. Mm-hmm. And these were old looms?
Most of them were, yes.
Like handmade kind of looms?
Yes, most of them. No, there were two or three. There was... We had 10. One, two. We must have had about three that had been built. Mm-hmm. And the other, Sears and Roebuck sold looms away years and years ago.
Yeah.
And one of my neighbors had a loom that was built by Sears and Roebuck.
So you actually got your start weaving with the Homestead Project?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And talk
yes,
about
that
how
that was in 36 or 37. Uh-huh.
And how did that come about?
Well, of course, when the homestead was started, the idea was to survive without a whole lot of help, you know. Mm-hmm. And so what they did, they planned to have homes built, and each person was to have around 2 acres, so he could raise the most of his food, and be able to take care of himself. Mm-hmm. Okay. Besides that, they brought in people that would help him. For instance, they had a home economist, and they had people who taught them how to farm or how to plant. You'd be surprised how many people didn't know these things. Mm-hmm. By the help of a Quaker, he was a Quaker. I don't know how he come to be here, but he was here. Bob Wilson was here as a Quaker, and the Quakers helped a lot. Well, the Quakers were the ones that helped with bring in the thread. Now, I wish I had a better history of this, but I don't. But it seemed as though the federal administration furnished the looms, and then Bob, and through the Quakers, was able to bring in other supplies and thread.
And the Quakers were actually involved with the organizing
the
whole project too? Or was it a government program from the beginning, or was the Quaker, it was a Quaker program in the beginning?
And then the first program they set up was, and I never did understand, because at that time I wasn't interested in weaving. I was teaching nursery school. That's how we come to be down here, by the way. I had been teaching nursery school for the WPA, and when the houses were almost built, they laid us all off. Although I went working for the homestead, I was laid off too. And that's when I went down here and started to learn to weave. I didn't have anything to do.
You were still living in Mill Creek?
No. We were here before all the houses were built. We were here in, we moved here. The Tigers Valley Homestead started. I was just reading through a paper the other day. You can read it, but you can't copy anything from it. It's got one of those rates, that you... But I think you'd get probably more of that than you will when I'm telling you that. I was working for WPA in the nursery school. And when they started the homestead, of course, a nursery was one of the things they wanted. And because I was already in the business, they talked me into coming down here and starting their nursery school. And that's when I talked, he was at work. Wilson Lumber Company had been down for, that's why the homestead was here, because the lumber had been cut out and the mines had gone dry. And so that's why the Roosevelts had the idea of the homestead. But that's, then is when I learned to weave. And that was 1937, I believe. 1936 or 7, around there someplace. And I wove with them.
Now, who was it was teaching that?
There were people that were brought in, see. What they did, they brought in people to help. They brought the home economist in to teach people how to keep house. There was one woman, let me tell you this one, it'll make me give you an idea. She was mopping her kitchen, and in the middle it was beautiful, but there was about that much dirt up against the... She didn't know any better, so she was just a young woman. Anyway, they brought these people in. They were brought in. They brought these weavers in. They were from Scandinavian country. I had the best weavers, teachers, and that there were available. They brought them.
Did they start the weaving program as a way to help people maybe start a cottage industry? Was it?
No, I don't think they had an idea. Now, they might have. I don't know.
Was it to help people make money or just to help people?
No, they wanted you to help survive. Help yourself.
Yeah.
And I was going to tell you about the first program. And I wasn't interested in this, even now, because I was over at the nursery school. And this man and woman, and I have no idea how much they knew about weaving, but they were homesteaders, and they started it. And the first program was an NYA program. And these young people were, the age that they took for that was after they finished high school, until I think about, I'd be probably 16 to 20 or something. Anyway, you could be older. Even young married women that had moved into the homestead were eligible to go. Anyway, they were on this NYA program. And we had a lot of visitors, an awful lot of visitors. And so they figured that maybe they had a little weaving shop. There's been a weaving shop ever since it started. And then they would try to make things that and sell them, like cushions or... Mm-hmm. I can show you one of the cushions I had that they made. And I think I have a couple of scars. And then they would sell it, and that was their money. Mm-hmm. They could have that. Another thing they did, they raised plants, flowers, and things like that. But the idea was they were helping you. They were bringing people in to help mm-hmm. you, mm-hmm. helping you different ways.
So they had home economics people, and they had weavers. Did they have anything specifically for the men? Did they have a woodworking project or anything?
I think that there probably was uh-huh. Already someone in the homestead that could do uh-huh. that, because there were people, homesteaders, that uh-huh. they had a woodworking shop. They made tables, and they made different furnitures. Another thing they did, they shipped furniture in here. A lot of people didn't have any furniture. Uh-huh. And so they shipped furniture.
Would this be yeah. used?
And then so they would sell it to them at a, uh-huh. you know, cheaper prices. They
was
could.
That used furniture or new furniture?
No. It was new furniture. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, I'm not sure about that. We bought a washing machine from them, our first washing machine. Mm-hmm. Washer was from the homestead. And,
So you was this the house that you came to?
Mm-hmm.
And these houses were built about the middle 30s, did you say?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I think the program started in the 30s, but I think maybe they we weren't able to move down when they first went to work here. Uh-huh. And we still have a place to live in Mill Creek. And at that time, of course, I had the nursery up there too, because we didn't have a place for nursery school. Mm-hmm. So we rented a house and mm-hmm. moved and had the nursery up. I spent a couple of years mm-hmm. before. Because at first there were very few houses built. The first ones were built across over in East Daly, as they call it. You go. Mm-hmm. Turn off at Daly and go
right.
across the river. And they had some work for the men. They had, of course, most of the work was building houses, but they had a rock quarry up the road a piece. And there were men that had to work in the rock quarry. Mm-hmm. And that was one place. Then they had a farm. All this land that they bought a farm. Uh-huh. I mean, they had a farm, a uh-huh. big farm over on the east here. And that's one way. Then the men were working, raising potatoes and, you know, and things like that. And then later, of course, they had to built the roads in.
How were decisions made about?
Well, they had administration.
There wasn't a vote taken by the community on things?
Well, now they had a co-op later, but of course the first thing to do was to get somebody. People, it's just like any corporation. You've got to have a head.
Yeah.
And so they had an administrator, and of course there were people that were helping them in Washington, and then the local people had a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. You have to have the backing.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't come in and say, we're going to build some houses. Yeah. They had all kinds of architects and, you know, several people. And
And when people came here to live, what kind of agreement or whatever did they have to make with the administration of the project?
Well,
did they have to make some kind of an agreement with the administration of the
project?
Oh,
you were chosen.
You were chosen.
Uh-huh.
So there was like...
People that were trained, they trained,
uh-huh.
that interviewed you. And
I see.
Then you got, you know, how you do with any job, really, I have to guess. But Dad didn't want to do it. He was, and you know, a lot of those people were proud. They didn't want want to take, they thought it was charity.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to do it. But I think probably the biggest thing that brought us down here was me about being
involved.
Messed up with a nurse. Well, I finally talked him into it. But then everything that he did was right down his alley because he was a carpenter.
Right.
And that's what he did here.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they finally, where they got to the point they had to have some kind of a industry, then that's when the mill down here was built.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, that was another place that he was very familiar with,
mm-hmm.
was the runnings of a mill.
Mm-hmm.
And he was happy here, as far as that's concerned, but mm-hmm. it was just a change, I think.
Yeah. Now, when these folks came in to set up a weaving project and teaching situation, did they use any local weavers at all for any
I don't think there were
instruction? They didn't even...
I don't think there were any. There were always... And it even today, I'll hear of a new, somebody new that I hadn't heard of before that had a loom that somebody in their family gave them.
Yeah.
A woman from Valley Head the other day. I get calls all the time from people because I got... I got a name, I guess. And so the first thing I think of, weavings, me. Anyway, but I'm sure there were people. Now, one of the looms we borrowed was a homesteader, and she made carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And her loom was an automatic. It was noisy, but it was a loom.
Mm-hmm.
And, then how we come to really get more mixed up in the when the war came, then they forgot about, you know, us. All they could think of was
war,
fighting the war. And another thing, we couldn't even buy thread. Mm-hmm. Thread went off the market, and decent thread has never come back, to my knowledge. Anyway, that's when they closed down the weaving shop.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, the looms were still there in this building, and we still continued to live here. Of course, at that time, we were mostly financially pretty well on our own, mm-hmm. by 40.
Where was the weaving shop located?
It's still down there. I've threatened to take a picture of it every time we go up and down the road, but I never can think of it. It's right below the plumbing station. This big building is a trade center that was built.
Up at Daly?
Uh-huh, Daly.
Okay.
The trade center was built for, we didn't have any place for meetings and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And then on the other side of the trade center is a filling station.
Yeah.
Now that was built so they would have a job for men and that we could get our gas. And on the other side of the filling station is this little shop. Now, when after the war, when they sold houses, they lost interest in the whole thing, you know. And after the war was over, they wanted to sell the houses. Well, the idea was to eventually sell them to us anyway. Mm-hmm. But then they came here and talked to us and said what they would do, they would help us buy them. Now, one of the things, we had already partly, I think Dad had about $500 or $600 or maybe more than that. And in those days, that was a good bit of money. Mm-hmm. And that he already had on his house paid on. Mm-hmm. Because the deal was that the men would work and they would get so much to live on. I think it was seven, I don't know. I can't remember numbers anyway. It's in one of those writings. So much to live on, and the other is sort of half and half. The other half was could be paid on, they called the credit hours. Mm-hmm. And those credit hours went on your payment of your mm-hmm. house. And another thing, if you had a relative living with you, or you had a son that was old enough to work and they didn't hire girls in, they could work and with the same thing, mm-hmm. you know. You got so much, the rest of it went on your dad's credit hours. Mm-hmm. And so you see, you build up, we had a good bit of on errors. And that's when they sold us the weaving shop. Mm-hmm. And now they offered
us. Now, when you say us.
Well, weavers. There were only 5 or 6 of us that were mm-hmm. interested. Mm-hmm. After the war, we went down there and wove some. Because, you know, I could help them, and so we went back to weaving. Mm-hmm. But they offered this shop to this group of women for $500. It had 5 or 6 looms in there and all the equipment. If you ever went in a weaving room, mm-hmm. you know how much equipment mm-hmm. is necessary. Even sticks.
Do you remember who those people were?
Yes. This one woman I wanted you to go visit was one of them. Uh-huh. And one was dead. Is dead. Uh-huh. And I don't know where.
What were the
I
names?
Think two of them maybe are deceased. I don't have no idea where McMillan would be. But Mrs. Snyder, this one woman, Mrs. Snyder, she lived right up here. Well, they were the ones that put up the money. They uh-huh. put up the money to buy the weaving shop. Uh-huh. But not the weaving shop. We didn't get the weaving shop. We got the furniture, all was in it. Uh-huh. And they sold it for a dwelling. Uh-huh. And then we bought a loom apiece mm-hmm. and some of the equipment. $50, I think, each of us paid or something like that. Mm-hmm.
But now, who were the women? You mentioned a Mrs. Snyder.
Okay, Mrs. Snyder, and she eventually put out her sign. She wove for people. She was one of the swiftest weavers I've ever seen. And she could sail. See, she ran on the highway. She had an advantage.
I remember years.
Yeah,
she had a sign
used to have a sign out there.
Yeah.
And she made everything that she sold everything that she
What was
made.
Her given name?
Geneva. Uh-huh. Geneva Snyder.
Is she still living?
No, she had cancer.
Oh.
But she proved that you can make a very good living. Mm-hmm. She was able to, you know, take care of herself. Her husband died several years ago. Mm-hmm. But then Mrs. Presso, the woman I was telling you about that's in the nursing home, mm-hmm. is she didn't weave as much as Mrs. Snyder did, but she could sell everything she wove too. People often ask her if she has anything left over. And of course I have two. Don't you have something to sell? I finally decided I'd better quit or I wouldn't have anything. I'm glad I did. I'm glad I didn't sell everything because it's come in handy. Yeah. You know, just
demonstrate.
People wants to see. And mm-hmm. I've had several. We brought one of the classes, our second class up. I always took some things down, and I said to Donna, it's getting harder for me to, you know, to do things like that. And I said, why don't we just take them up there? Let's have a field trip. So they came up, and that's all my things.
Good.
We had a ball.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
So it's something different. Uh-huh. It worked out pretty well.
Now, that woman's name was Mrs. Presser?
Pretzo.
Pretzo.
It's a French name.
Uh-huh.
Pretzo.
Uh-huh.
Now, you can still go down and visit her, but I was just checking with her daughter-in-law this morning. See, she lived up here, too.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the other people are around here anymore. They've gone. Mm-hmm. A lot of people left after the war. They went, you know, for... Well, work was pretty good. People were anxious to get out and get, well, during the war too, you know, there were more jobs. But she lived up here. She was just had her 100th birthday.
Wow.
And of course she hasn't been weaving for the last few years, but
mm-hmm.
and her granddaughter has her loom. She took her loom. But all the time she was up here, that weaving was up there, but the girls have taken it now. I was afraid of that.
Mm.
I'm sorry you didn't, you know, just couldn't get time to go up there.
Do you do you know there any of their names that I might contact then? The daughters or the granddaughter?
Well, Mary Jane said she'd talk to Sarah and see.
Mm.
But they'd have to, you know, bring it back. Neither one of them are around here.
Oh, uh-huh.
The DeSales, her daughter, is in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah is in, I'm not sure. She's Point Pleasant or
mm-hmm.
out in that area. She used to live in Parkersburg, but it's not Parkersburg.